Amen. Well, take your seats and get your Bible, and right behind the book of Proverbs is this wonderful book of Ecclesiastes. Somehow, recently, I've just been hanging out in the Old Testament a lot. I always like that. And I want to read you a verse that just jumped off the page at me. In the third chapter, there's a time for a lot of things in Ecclesiastes. You know, time to be born and time to die, time to plant, time to pluck. Time to heal, a time to be up, down, time to weep, time, all kinds in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. But this one verse jumped out at me. If I could read it to you, it was kind of an interesting verse. Ecclesiastes, third chapter, verse number 7, says, it's a time to tear and a time to sow and a time to keep silent and a time to speak. New Testament puts it in the book of James in the first chapter, verse number 19, something like this. And it says that you should be, if you will, verse number 19, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Here God talks about an interesting subject of that I think we've lost in America, in the churches and in our own personal lives. It's a time to keep silent. And the power of silence, in fact, the title of the message is, it's a time to keep silent. When is that time and how does it work? What's it about? Why does God talk about it so many times in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament? Why is it that you see examples like Jesus? When people are talking to Jesus and he doesn't answer them back, he just looks the other way. Remember the time when the lady that was accused by her accusers, you know, she's on the ground and they've thrown her down and accused her of violating her moral standards of that time and era. Jesus doesn't say a word. He just simply bends down without saying anything and draws something in the sand. Silence is amazingly powerful. And sometimes we've lost the knack of understanding the purpose of it and how powerful silence can be. I want you to know that Jesus also was confronted by Pontius Pilate, asked him numerous questions, and his response was silence, which brought the power of God on the scene to change things. You'll find over and over again that Jesus is silent. Over and over again when he was confronted by the Pharisees and he just walked through the crowds that were making such a noise. Sometimes we don't understand that the answer to life can come not just from words, but can come from a position of silence. And to be a great Christian that follows God, it's not always the one who talks the most and makes the loudest noise that is in connection with God. Sometimes it's the one who's the quietest. True strength oftentimes comes from silence, not from an outburst of energy, of noise. In fact, the greatest worship will be the worship that comes from a silent heart that's just fixed upon God, or a silent heart that just simply follows the ways of the Lord. A silent heart that says, God, you are what you are. True faith oftentimes is not even saying anything, but true faith oftentimes is someone who says, I am settled at it, it's over with. I'm gonna be quiet about it from now on because now I know, just like Jesus, he didn't have to brag about who he was. Didn't have to make a statement about and proclamation about his background or where he came from or what he knew or didn't know. Oftentimes he was just silent. And in the silence, man, it baffled everybody. And the great wisdom was seen and found in silence. What if we could learn that same process? The other day, what really got me going on this was a simple time I was with God. I didn't even know I was with God. Let me explain it to you if I may. I was in the shower, taking a shower. And you know what people do, they're, you know, hot water is on them, the soap is on you, and Your mind is going somewhere else. You're not thinking about washing. You're not thinking about using soap. I was just in the shower when God spoke to me a couple of days back, and he made a statement. What he did is he told me about how to double the income of my business without selling the business. The product itself sells and has a great return. Why sell the product? Sell the return. And I went, oh my goodness. And I started to think about what he was saying to me. I never even told Deborah about it. It's just been something silently held inside of my heart. And all of a sudden I realized that in the silence, God had spoken to me about something very important. I found myself later on asking God, why didn't you tell me this when I was talking about my business, you know, months ago and planning this and doing this and doing that? And God said, you were too busy. You were too talkative. You weren't listening to me. So I waited until you got into a silent place where I could speak to you. Has anybody else ever been spoken to by God in the shower? Many of us, we hear God in the shower. It's because we're too busy every place else in our life. And God wants to talk to us. He waits until we get to a place where we're quiet. Interesting, isn't it? Tonight, when to consider silence as an answer. When do you consider silence as an answer? We're going to look at a lot of Old Testament scriptures tonight. There are four areas that really built inside of me. I want to know when it is that God wants me to be quiet, because I'm a talkative person. I love to talk. In fact, I have a real hard time being around people who don't talk. I feel like they don't like me. I've done something wrong. I'm one of those kind of people. So when to consider silence as an answer? Four areas. Kind of fun. Are you ready? Number one, in God's presence is number one. Sometimes we just need to shut it down and let him talk. Can I ask you a question? Be honest with me. Tell me what you think. Is it better that you talk to God, or is it better that God talk to you? You see what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it answers the whole question as why we should find time to be silent before the Lord. I find myself oftentimes saying, Lord, I'm going to be silent before you. I want to hear from you. Don't hear anything from God. The only thing I hear is myself snoring, waking myself up in a few minutes. But that's okay. At least I tried. And if you're younger, you don't have that problem. But us older guys, somehow we fall asleep and say, oh, wow, that was spiritual, but I didn't hear anything from God. It felt good, but I didn't hear anything from God. But in his presence, and it's not that God doesn't want us to talk to him, because when we talk to God, guess what that is? That's called prayer. And God, it's all through the scripture about talking to God, prayer. And we'll go to church and we'll hear 10 messages about prayer, talking to God, but we'll very seldom ever hear about just shutting up. Just being silent before the Lord. When in fact, you know it as well as I do, it's probably just as important, maybe even sometimes more important, that God talk to us instead of we talking to him. Amen. And if that's true, then why do we have 10-to-1 messages about prayer when we only have one message once in a while about silence? Just shutting it all down and hearing from God in his presence. He wants to talk to you. In his presence, he wants to tell you. In his presence, he wants to guide you. In his presence, he wants to heal you and strengthen you and encourage you. In his presence, he wants to love you. In his presence, you're going to find comfort. In his presence, you'll find peace. In his presence, you'll have direction. In his presence, he'll give you hope. It all comes from when he is around you. And sometimes we're so busy and so active and so noisy, we just don't have time. You know, I don't know about you, but when I go home, most of the time, you know what we do? We flip on the television and watch stupid television. stupid CNN or stupid Fox News or some stupid movie and whatever it might possibly be. And all of a sudden the noise from that box comes and overwhelms us. And at the end, it might be a good movie and that's fine. And that's okay. And say, wow, that was a good movie. I really enjoyed that. And it's okay. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but I'm just saying that in his presence, you ought to work at finding a time to be silent, to listen to him and learn how to stay awake until he speaks. And if he doesn't speak today, then go after him tomorrow. Because one word from God ought to last you a long time. And one word from God is like a better than a billion words from people or your television or anything else. And it's in his presence, my friends, that you'll find that you and I need to find ourselves silent before the Lord. Zephaniah is a book in the last part of the scriptures. If you'll go there with me, you'll find it in the Minor Prophets. In Zephaniah, the first chapter, verse number 7. I loved it when Dan said, it's on page so-and-so. Dan, you need to get a rock Bible. We could all tell you didn't have one. But I'll buy you one. Zephaniah, last part of the Old Testament. In Zephaniah, just a little book, verse number 7 of the first chapter says, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and he has invited his guests. In other words, God wants to do something in your life, and how are you ever going to get it if you're always talking? Slow yourself down in the very presence of God. There's another little scripture, if you will, from a minor prophet also, and if you will, in Zechariah. If you will, just go back a little bit ahead there. You'll find Zechariah passed. If you will, Haggai, and flip the page 4 or 5 times in the second chapter of Zechariah, in verse number 13, it says, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from this holy habitation. God wants to rise up and speak to you until we learn how to be quiet. There's times to shout. There's times to be noisy. There's times to be excited. I'll show you that in a minute. But there's also times to be silent. What would happen if they were so noisy Paul never got directions from God? God takes Paul on the road to Damascus and puts him in a silent place. He can't see. He doesn't know what's going on. He's totally baffled. He heard from God. And all of a sudden, God keeps him there. And God makes a statement. He says, I need to show him what suffering he's got to go through for me and my sake. So here's Paul the Apostle, writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. What happens if God didn't show him that? Would he have made it? Would he have done it? Would he have completed the task? Would he have fulfilled the mandate that God had given him? I don't think so. But he had to get him in a place where he could talk to him, and he blinded him and took him to a place where he was alone and silent. And in that silent, blind place, God spoke to him. There's many of you that are out there right now that God wants to tell you about your future. God wants to tell you about your business. God wants to tell you about your children. God wants to assure to you that you're okay. God wants to do great, mighty, marvelous things. And until you spend some time alone with God, it's going to be difficult for him to get the message across to you. He's not just someone who chases after you, waiting for you to shut down to talk to him. He's looking for somebody who knows enough and is wise enough to let God talk to them and makes a place for the God to talk to them. I think that's one of the greatest things. How could I ever follow God if I don't hear from God, know what God has for me? How could I ever follow God if I don't know what God wants from me or wants me to do or how to do it? For all of us, God wants to do something. And you know, you can say, well, I got direction from the Word of God. Of course you do. And as you look into the Word of God, but you know, sometimes you need God to solidify inside your heart what He says. And in His presence is a great time to shut down. You will find there's people that shut down in His presence. Ever thought about how David was developed to be a king over Israel? He never went to king school. There was no such thing. God calls him out of a shepherd's pasture. He's a young man singing songs to sheep. You know how dumb sheep are? How boring they are? They sit around and eat and you pull them out of holes because they fall in holes all the time. What is God doing? God is talking. And here's David with these great revelations, isn't he? He's singing these songs, the Psalms that you read about David, and he's becoming a king of Israel, not because he's going to king school, but he's becoming a king of Israel because he's hearing the voice of the Lord. He's not just talking to God. God's talking to him. And for all of us, unless we spend time to let God talk to us, God, I need to just get alone and trust, but see, we're so at work. And I'm not talking about a Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a rest in the heart where we are quiet before the Lord and we actually give God some time. And whether He responds or doesn't respond in our time that we give Him, we'll just give Him more time until He does. Very important in His presence. When to consider silence as an answer? Well, number one, in God's presence. But number two, this is a funny one, in God's house. Now, I'm not talking about coming in the house of God and not saying anything. We've taken scripture and we've gone way overboard with it. I will show you scripture when it comes into the house of God that you should be silent. But that's not what he's talking about. Have you ever been in a church where everybody just whispers when they walk in and everybody whispers when they go out? And it's like, oh, you give me a break, will you? This is a building. We're not talking about worshiping a building. This is a building. It's made out of mud and mortar. It's made out of rock and drywall. It's made out of steel and carpet. My goodness sakes alive, and we're treating it like it's something holy. There's something holy. His name is God, and His presence is in this place. But in the house of God, there is a time when you settle down and hear from God. And until you're settled down, you can't hear from God. Even when we come into the house of God, most of us have got our cell phones going. And you may be following the scripture because now nobody can stop you from doing that because we've downloaded our Bibles and we're all following that. But I'll bet you there's a lot of people in every service that are texting their friends. You know it and I know it. And their minds are somewhere else and they haven't shut down enough while they're in church to actually hear from God. I'm gonna tell you something, not only the shower is it good, but it's a better place to hear from God in church. When you go to church is when you need to hear from God. These last couple of weeks, I've heard two messages on weekends that absolutely changed my life. I'll never be the same after faith and patience. I'll never be the same after trusting and learning to be secure in God's words and God's promises from today. I will never be the same Christian I've ever been. Why? Because I heard from God. And it's not just because we're quiet and we just are sober when we come in. You can be rowdy and noisy and shout. In fact, if you've been in this church for very long, you may have seen my rudeness towards people. I don't mind during worship and praise for shouting and screaming and dancing and jumping. But when the Word of God is preached and you're disrupting the Word of God, this old man will look at you and say, "Shut up." Because I won't allow that to disrupt someone's concentration because God wants to speak to those people at that time and they're calling attention to themselves. And I will. And just recently, the last couple of weeks on a weekend, I was just as rude in one of the services I could possibly be. Someone was shouting during worship and praise. And I thought, you know, that's great. Let them shout. And then as I started preaching the Word of God, they started shouting again. And I don't remember where it was. It was somewhere back here. And I said, "Hey, I don't know who you are, but shut up when the Word of God's being preached." And I'm sure a lot of people with religious minds went, "Oh my goodness sakes, Did he just tell somebody to shut up in church? Well, listen, you go to this church, that's the way it is. We're not letting you get away with stuff. In fact, let me just tell you something that's kind of interesting. Paul the apostle is preaching. There's a woman in the audience. Listen to this. In the audience, she's yelling back to everybody in the audience. Here's what she yells. Listen to these men. They are real men of God. Now, can you imagine someone in our church, while the word of God is being preached, standing to their feet, and they say, listen to Pastor Jim. He is a real man of God. Listen to Pastor Jim. He's a real man of God. Now, if I was a stupid man of God, I would let her continue doing that because she's saying the right things about me. But I know too much about Scripture. And when she stood up and started to make a statement like that, I would do just exactly what Paul the apostle did. You know what Paul did to that woman who was complimenting him on his preaching? He went down and cast the devil out of her. Why? Because it was the devil that was disrupting the word of God. When you come into the house of God, there's a time for a shout. There's a time for a praise. There's a time for dancing. There's a time for excitement. And then there's a time to shut it down and listen to God. God wants to speak to you. And that's a healthy balance where you don't go into a place and it's just all, you know, everybody's silent. Nobody can do anything and you can't do anything. You know, you need to have an excitement for God, but then you also need to be someone who is smart enough to realize there's a time to shut it down and listen to God. God wants to speak to you. The reason those messages the last couple of weeks changed my life, I didn't even preach them. I just heard them 5 times. And I didn't preach them. The reason it changed my life is because I came in and I shut down and I'm listening. See, there's a time to shut down, there's a time to shout. In church, in the house of God. In fact, while you're there in the Old Testament, go with me to Habakkuk. If you will, in Habakkuk, let's go back to Habakkuk. Just go forward just another page or two in your Bible. In Habakkuk, if you will, the 2nd chapter, verse number 20, it says these words, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." And people have taken that and caused their churches, they took this verse out of context and they caused their churches to be so silent that there's took the life out of the church. And that's not what God's talking about. There's a time for exuberance. There's time for silence. Is anybody listening? We're talking about, and it's a wonderful subject, when to consider silence an answer in the presence of God. When to consider silence an answer in the house of God. But I like this one, number 3, in evil times. When evil is there, sometimes it's good just to shut up and trust the Lord. Are you following me? When things are not going the way you want them to go and you know demonic activity has taken place. You know there's a failure of mankind. Sometimes it's better just to shut up. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but Paul the Apostle is ministering during one of the worst times in the history of the world. The Roman Empire was a horrible group of people that stomped and killed people right and left without any conscience to it at all. They would break into homes. They would violate the women. They would cut the men and young men up into pieces, and nobody did a thing about it. It wasn't like you could call the local police. You were just dead. And a woman would be violated, lose her children, lose her wife, lose everything. Money would be taken. They would do whatever they wanted to do. One of the worst times you can ever imagine on the face of the planet was during the Roman Empire. Isn't it interesting that Jesus came during that period of time? Isn't it interesting some of the greatest men and women of God that have ever walked on this planet walked during those periods of time? Isn't that interesting that that would take place? Can I just make this statement to you? Listen closely to what I'm gonna say to you because it's very important for you to understand. In these times of trouble, in these times of horrific pressure, in these times of abomination towards God, you never see Paul one time in the streets with a sign picketing. Never. You never see him going against the Roman Empire. You never see him doing anything. In fact, if anything, he said, give on to Caesar what's Caesar's, give on to God what's God. Your job is to give on to God what belongs to God. The rest of the world will determine its fate, and it'll go to hell as it decides to go to hell. And you can't stop it. And your picket signs is not gonna get there. And that's where I think we make major decisions and major mistakes. You'll never see Paul one time picketing an abortion clinic or a murdering clinic. There were 5,000 people every single day that were Christians, every single day murdered in the arenas of Rome. 5,000, they were, listen, when you walked into Rome along the sides of the street, hundreds, even thousands of people were crucified, dying before your very eyes. You see one time where Paul is raising a sign or even a word against it. You know what he did? He kept preaching the gospel, and he shut up about that, and he kept preaching the gospel, because here's what's gonna help you. It's not the sign to change society. It's the heart that we need to change that comes from the things of God. And he kept preaching the word of God. It's an interesting truth, my friends. And what we have today in America is we have a whole bunch of Christians that want to picket everything and want to do everything. And I want you to know something. All you need to do is keep preaching the gospel and telling people about the right way of doing things. And against evil, just shut up. God will take care of it. You're going to have evil on this planet until the day that the eastern sky splits and Jesus comes, and you're not going to change that. It's there for a reason, and it's going to make a decision for people. They're either going to go for evil or go for God. So let them make the decision. But you and I are here to preach the gospel, not to come against it. Listen, are you hearing what I'm saying? And it may rub you the wrong way because you may be in a place. I love this. We had a military person that was killed in Afghanistan or Iraq, and they had a funeral here at this church. And I tell you, it was amazing, all the people that came from everywhere for his death. The place was packed. The fire department had big banners in front. The police department were all over the place honoring this soldier who had died in our congregation. And then there was a bunch of stupid so-called called Christians that wanted to come on the property and picket the war and say how bad it was. Let me tell you something. They had to hold Pastor Jim back, because that was one time I was not going to be silent. And thank God there's a whole motorcycle group of guys that blocked the driveway and wouldn't let them on the property. Because it isn't about the picketing. You need to be quiet. It isn't about raising the signs, and you need to understand. Listen, that may sound good and may be the thing that you think you ought to do, but you ought to be smart like Paul the Apostle. There's a time in the face of evil when you just shut up and keep doing your job. Let God deal with the issue of evil and you deal with the issue of righteousness. And I love what the word of the Lord says in Amos, if you'll go there with me. Just keep going forward in your Bible. In Amos, the book of Amos, the fifth chapter, verse 13. In verse 13 of the book of Amos, little book, says these words. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at that time, the verse before it. For it is an evil time. Someone says, well, how do you combat evil? You do it spiritually, in your warfare personally. And your life becomes the witness to a lost and dying world, not a picket sign that you're trying to make a statement over. Well, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you as a pastor, you may not like that because you've seen so many picket signs and seen so many people do things like that, but that's not the way of the Bible. Nor do you see one person that's a leadership in the Church of Jerusalem rising up against, if you will, against the Roman Empire that was a whole lot more corrupt than the world we live in today. And a whole lot more filthier and a whole lot more abominable than the world we live in today. And yet you do not see one person in the Bible. It's true. Isn't that shocking? Hey, we're just growing up. Learning to be silenced. The day's evil. Times are evil. But we don't be silent about God. We're just silent. We're not here to do anything else but exalt the name of Jesus and lift up the gospel. Let God fight your battles for you. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen because I'm right, period. We're talking about when to consider silence as an answer when you're in the presence of God, number one. Number two, in God's house. That was pretty interesting. Number three, in evil times. That's pretty interesting. And number four, I love this one. When you're waiting on the strategies from God, you'd better be silent. God can tell you about what to do and how to do it, but he usually doesn't tell you until you're quiet and explain how it works. Let me give you an illustration. Go with me, if you will, in your Bible to Joshua, the 6th chapter. Front of your Bible, Joshua, you'll find Deuteronomy. Right after Deuteronomy, you'll find Joshua. Right there in the 6th chapter of Joshua. Here we see the children of Israel taking the promised land. They've come across a city by the name of Jericho. Now remember Jericho, God instructs them. Can I just say it in San Bernardino language so we can understand it? God instructs them to shut up. And then God tells them march around the building 7 times every day. For 7 days, they couldn't talk. Isn't that interesting? They couldn't bother each other, couldn't tell jokes, didn't dance, didn't shout, didn't tell and threaten the people behind the walls. They were called by God to do something, be silent. Have you ever thought about that? And then he comes along and he makes a statement which is fascinating, verse number 10. And Joshua had commanded the people saying, listen to this, verse number 10. You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall the, listen to this, the word proceed out of your mouth. Isn't that silence? Until the day that I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. 7 days they march. Quietly. We talk about the shout a lot. We talk about the walls falling down. But you know what we don't talk about very much? We don't talk about how God gave Joshua the timing and had to give him the timing and in such a way that he received direction and he received the strategies from God on those days. 7 days of silence. We talk about the walls falling. We talk about the conquering God. We talk about the children of Israel winning a miraculous miracle battle. But we don't talk about 7 days of shutting our mouths, hearing and getting directions from God. Before the walls fell, before the miracle took place, before the victory came, there were 7 days of silence. Some of us, if we had to be 7 days silent, we couldn't do it. The walls would still be there today. And Rahab would have her little red flag flying. Guys, here's so important for us. There's a time when all of us need to make time for God. I know you want more of God. I know you want to be blessed. I know you want God to open doors that no man can open, close doors no man can close. I know you want the peace of God. The joy of God, I know you do. It's not always in the shout. Oftentimes, it's in the preparation, receiving the strategy. And it took 7 days for the shout to take place that brought the walls down. And sometimes we think it's in the shout when it's in the silence. And I really want to make this statement again to you. And I think it's an important statement now that you'll understand it. True strength oftentimes comes through silence. And a lot of times we miss that. And sometimes the answers to the problems you're facing is not doing anything but being silent, hearing from God as to what it is that you need to do. This church would never be here if we didn't hear from God's instructions. Never be here. Because we're the biggest, noisiest people. We're noisy. I don't think I've ever been in a church more noisy than you guys. And you know what? Last Wednesday night, I don't know if you were here on last Wednesday night, the place tore up. I mean, the worship tore up. I thought the people were going to pick up the seats, start throwing them up in the air. We were having a ball. And I want you to know something. I think that's great. There's a time of shouting, but there's also a time of silence. And sometimes the silence can be more important than the shout because it brings the results with the shout. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that? A time, I'll just rehearse the title again. A time for keeping silent. Find it in your life and spend time operating in it. It'll make all the difference in the world. A shower just isn't long enough. Is anybody listening? Anybody get anything out of that besides me? So cool. So different. Now remember, I didn't say